And welcome back. The Catholic Church faces a number of issues ranging from same-sex marriage, clergy-child sex abuse, and a decline in the number of Americans who do not associate with any religion. Last week, the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops met in St. Louis. The gathering was led by Archbishop Joseph Kurtz of Louisville. St. Louis Public Radio reporter Stephanie Lecce had a chance to talk with St. Louis Archbishop Robert Carlson at the conference. Stephanie asked the Archbishop about the U.S. Supreme Court's impending ruling on same-sex marriage and about the Church's approach when the decision is handed down.
Obviously, we can only do what the Church allows, and our theology teaches us that a marriage is between a man and a woman. We'll continue to prepare young couples to come to us and hopefully to strengthen not only marriage but also family life. You know, here in St. Louis, one of my concerns is violence and family violence, and we've just started the new Commission on Justice and Peace. And one of the issues that we talked about at our first meeting, we're going to have several, of course, as we look at issues, is we have to do something about violence in the community and family violence. So I think that's another way that we can help. As far as the Supreme Court decision, my father used to say, don't count your chickens before the eggs are hatched, but we'll see what they do. And obviously, as the Church has done for 2,000 years, we'll deal with the issue as it comes up, and hopefully be sensitive to everyone, but at the same time, faithful to our teaching. You know, Pope Francis really does a great job. He knows what the Church teaches, and he continues to express it, but he proclaims it as good news. And that's always been my approach as well. And we will be faithful to what the Church teaches, but at the same time, we certainly have to help our culture and the many issues that make it up. So that's our approach.
Speaking of issues facing our culture right now, you know, Archbishop Kurtz began the meeting with a message that included five prescriptions of how Catholics can begin to combat racism and improve police-community relations across the country as this issue has really come to the forefront of the public consciousness. That's obviously been a huge issue here in the St. Louis area over the last year. What specific actions will the Church here take to continue that path toward combating racism in our community?
Well, first of all, we haven't stopped doing what we were doing. Catholic Charities is still out there working with people. When some of those businesses were burnt and people lost their jobs, and they had young people in our Catholic schools, we sent $100,000 up to Trinity High School so to assist people with their tuition. We continue to provide tuition support for all of our inner city schools and for North County. As you know, recently there was an article in the paper about a family that was very generous to the Catholic schools. We still have the prayer services. I'm due up there again in August. I remember the day after the shooting when I went down there to pray, and obviously a lot of tension. I didn't bring any press with me because I didn't think that was appropriate. And luckily for me, there was a woman who recognized me from doing confirmation of her daughter. And she gave me a big hug, and people seemed to relax, and I got to pray, and that was a very blessed moment. I was criticized later because people said I was a Johnny-come-lately, but I don't believe in those kinds of issues. You bring the press with you. I think that's a very personal kind of thing. But we want to be supportive to the police. We want to be supportive to the community. I established the Peace and Justice Commission because of the Ferguson issue, and some of the tremendous people in our community have said yes. In fact, we had no one turn us down. We've asked the Luongo Center to work on family violence, and we provided at least one scholarship to send somebody to Philadelphia for the family conference. So we'll continue to do all that, and hopefully we have some long-range programs that aren't quite set yet, because I believe what we really need is people face-to-face in a discussion. And I also believe I should follow the leadership of the black pastors because they certainly know the community better than I, but I want to do everything we can to support. So charities, prayer, schools, the commission, hopefully that'll help in the long run.
What did you make of Archbishop Kurtz's five steps that Catholics can take? Is that something that you hope St. Louis Catholics will take to heart?
Well, actually, we do some of those things, and as a matter of fact, I'm very supportive of the letter. And I think it accomplished two things. One, it talked about the sin of racism, what's been done here years ago in the 1940s by Cardinal Ritter. But it also talked about the fact that...
when he desegregated the Catholic schools long before Brown v. Board of Ed.
Correct. And I think in St. Louis we have to continue to be on the cutting edge. And so the various things that he mentioned, plus support for the police, he didn't criticize any group, but he said Catholics have to be involved in racism. And I think this is how we do it. We help Catholics understand that they have to be personally involved and have to examine their own conscience, and they have to be willing to extend a hand, because the Lord says, love God with your whole heart and your neighbor as yourself. And I like to translate it as another self. And I think that's what the 5 points talked about, and hopefully we can continue to communicate that message.
Including the idea of getting to know people of different backgrounds, things like that.
Right, we got to know our neighbors. You know, we live in, when I was growing up, if I got in trouble as a little boy at the end of the block, before I got home, the lady had called because she knew my mother. We have to get to the point where we become a family again and we know the people around us. We become a little impersonal. It's something we've got to work at, no matter who they are.
Now, what are some of the other messages that you'll be taking from this meeting that may show up during Mass around St. Louis?
Well, right now we're working on our new strategic plan, which we'll probably unveil in the fall. And obviously some of the things mentioned here will find their way into that. We're just completing our Alive in Christ program. In fact, the last step is this community foundation and the collection for our schools, because, we're very blessed. We're 38th in size as a diocese. When it comes to schools, we're 8th in the nation. So we want to continue that, because it's one way we can really help the community. You take a school like Cardinal Ritter that the business community continues to support, and it gives young people in poverty an avenue out. And if you look at their results, they're phenomenal as far as graduation rates and also getting young people into universities and colleges. But the real good news for St. Louis is 70% come back. So that's one thing that I take. Plus, we have a growing Hispanic population, and so the whole question of justice and immigration is most important to me. That's something that we'll continue to focus on, and from two points of view. One, to make sure we have priests who can welcome the stranger, the foreigner, the new person in our midst, and at the same time be able to provide worship in their language so that they feel at home. They have to feel welcome, which, of course, was also brought up here at the meeting. And the encyclical on the environment, we haven't seen it yet, but June 18th is just around the corner. And I'm very excited to see what that contains and to really be able to take a new look forward in how we can better care for the world. I mean, it's God's great gift, but we have to be good stewards.
I thought it was interesting, I think it was Archbishop Wenske yesterday was joking that it's going to annoy people on the left, annoy people on the right. People on the right and left will find things to support, will find items in the encyclical that they'll appreciate, and other things that will annoy them. And that's just kind of how the church works. It's not necessarily there to support one side or the other.
Well, I think Pope Francis gives us a great example. He knows church teaching. I mean, he's a Jesuit, come on. But at the same time, he knows how to proclaim the good news. I think you'll agree that in Pope Francis's time, he hasn't been sitting still. He's certainly been challenging us all, and I'm looking forward to the challenge. Will I like it all? I don't know. Will I dislike it? I don't know that either.
You mentioned how this encyclical might make Catholics and really others who read it come out of their comfort zone. I wonder how the Archdiocese of St. Louis can take action on the issues of racism and violence in the community, as you mentioned before, is also one of those areas where people in our city might have to come out of their comfort zones if we're really to find solutions.
A number of years ago, I became a pastor of a black inner-city parish. And obviously, I'd grown up in the suburbs and not had much exposure. But I found it to be a wonderful community. And one of the great things that happened is I must have been nervous, because I was talking at a parish council meeting, and a lady said to me, honey, if you want to learn, you got to hush up. And that was a great lesson for me, and so I listened, and we had a wonderful relationship. And I think probably listening is something we all need to do. whether it's church or media or business or school or politicians, we all have to do a better job of listening. And I think the encyclical on the environment will demand a lot of listening.
Going back to the issue of the violence in our community, since that's obviously been such an issue plaguing our city, what will the church here do? Do you see the church's role as being a leader on this issue?
Well, there's lots of people that have to be involved. It's not just the church. It's the whole community. And especially, I think it's moms and dads who can assist us in bringing what's important to young people and to the attention of the community in large, you know, totally across the board. The church has to be a partner. First of all, there are other churches. Secondly, we all need to learn. So it's going to be a project hand in hand with lots of people if we're going to be successful. I don't think anyone wants the violence, no matter who they are. So we're going to have to do it as a community. Or as they used to say in phrases that were popular back in the 80s, takes a village.
A similar theme was voiced during the first day of the conference's General Assembly meeting here in St. Louis, the idea that the church can be a model for how it addresses the scourge of child sex abuse, particularly given the scandal in the church where there have been abusive priests. And obviously the Pope has just created this Vatican tribunal to try bishops who are accused of covering up cases of clergy sex abuse. I wanted to get your thoughts on not only this tribunal, but steps that the church is continuing to take to combat this issue.
Well, I would say two things. One, I learned myself about the tribunal in an article in the paper this morning, so I don't know a great deal about it. But I think it's a good thing. Obviously, as I look back over my more than 30 years as a bishop, the whole thing has changed a great deal. I think there were changes in the 90s and then again in 2002, and there's still changes that we need. But the Pope has brought it to the attention of the whole church, and so it's something we're working on. When I came here to St. Louis, I felt that they had a very good review board process, and my commitment has always been to listen to them and to follow what this group of experts feels is the right way to proceed. And I think it's a wonderful way that laity, you know, whether you're a grandmother on the committee or a psychologist or an attorney or a counselor or whatever you might be, can listen to what victims are saying and then can give a recommendation to me. And my commitment is to follow what the advice that I receive from this group. And in fact, you can check, I've been absolutely, I followed their advice since I came here.
Does it concern you at all when a study like what came out of the Pew Research Center comes out saying that more and more people are identifying as not affiliated with a particular religion and that actually fewer people are identifying as Christian than ever before in the past? Does that concern you as a pastor here of our Catholic community?
Well, it obviously concerns you, but it also speaks of the challenges in our culture. If you were to become depressed, then you wouldn't be able to share the good news. And if you're going to be an agent for change, then first of all, you have to be anchored in prayer. Secondly, you have to call on the Holy Spirit. And then you try to do the best you can. And, you know, one of the things I discovered a long time ago as a bishop, the Holy Spirit works through lots of people, and not only me. And it's a good thing because if I thought it was just me, I wouldn't sleep very well. But it's all of us working together, so we do the best we can. And, you know, it's a challenge when the culture is going one way and the church's teachings are going in a different way. But we continue to do what we can. And we put it in the hands of the Lord, and that gives us peace.
What do you think is a message from this meeting that could maybe bring people back?
Well, first of all, the church is concerned. Secondly, we admit we don't know all the answers. But third, we're willing to try. And fourthly, we know it's something we can only accomplish in prayer. And we hope that the dialogue with those who have walked away can be helpful in finding ways to be effective. Kind of like, you know, a few years ago when they started the Theology on Tap. Well, that's different, but, you know, it draws a couple hundred, 300 young adults, and we get to talk, and they get to ask their questions. That's a great thing. And there's probably new programs like that in the wings just waiting for us to be open to.
That's St. Louis Archbishop Robert Carlson talking with St. Louis Public Radio reporter Stephanie Lecce. They spoke last week at the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops meeting here in St. Louis. Tomorrow, Pope Francis is expected to release his encyclical or teaching letter on climate change. And tomorrow on St. Louis on the Air, we'll hear the latest episode of our podcast, We Live Here. This week's episode examines the challenges ex-offenders have in restarting their lives. And we'll hear from the leader of Forest Park Forever about what the organization does and about the $30 million charitable gift it's just received. Archive versions of past St. Louis on the Air programs are available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org/stlonair. St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Thank you for listening. I'm Don Marsh.